You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Title of the message this morning is Encouragement for Endurance. And if you have your Bible, I'm going to go to Galatians in the sixth chapter. If it helps you, the Pew Bible would be page 975. For those of you that are regular attenders of Bethany, you know that it's our habit to work through various books of the Bible, believing that each book or letter has an overall message that supports the overall theme or message of the entire Bible. At the same time, we never want to diminish the power or the impact that even a single verse can, on standing alone, can make as an impact in an individual's life, in any of our lives. And today, we're going to look at a single verse and ask God to minister its truth deep into our hearts. Have you ever been tired? Can you identify with feelings of exhaustion? Do phrases like worn down, run ragged, resonate with you? You know, when I do this, Josue, everyone's all these English idioms. What do you do with that? Translate run ragged and make sense in Espanol, right? I don't know. Have you ever seen one of those videos that seem to be ubiquitous these days of different funny things, right? A video of a little baby seated in a high chair who is valiantly trying to eat this tasty snack while unsuccessfully fighting off the necessary need for sleep. And they're trying to so much enjoy what they eat while they fall asleep in their SpaghettiOs or whatever they're eating. Do you ever remember a really long car ride when you're growing up where most of the passengers have fallen asleep? Hopefully not the driver, right? All you can hear is the hum of the engine, the bumps in the roads, and the occasional clicking sound from the steering column. Just a quiet, long ride. Weariness is a very real thing. As you already know, failing to get adequate rest contributes to many health issues, right? Spiritual weariness is also a very real thing. The joy and the excitement you once had for serving the Lord, may have faded into now a dull routine. The delight you once had in fellowship and community with other believers has turned into duty or perhaps even dread. In Galatians chapter 6, Paul is writing to professing believers who had done a noble job up to this point of living for and serving the Lord, but they needed encouragement and they needed exhortation because they were growing weary in the challenge of serving the Lord. So in one simple statement, which is our text today, verse 9, Paul wants to provide spiritual encouragement to endure in the Christian life. And Christians have to read their present physical or any form of weariness, read that weariness through the lens of future blessing. Through the lens of one day I'll feast. And so today, Christian, you may already be worn out. You may be ready to quit. But Paul reminds us that we can keep going through the challenges of life by believing God's truth. So let's read this brief verse together and meditate on it this morning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That first opening phrase, let us not grow weary. Our text today continues Paul's thought in the earlier verses. He has just reminded the Galatians of the laws of the harvest. Perhaps you had heard those verses 7 and 8, explained something like this. You will always reap what you sow. You will always reap later than you sow. You will always reap more than you sow. You know, Paul is very practical. He doesn't have any time for merely theoretical Christianity. You see, your true belief system is worked out in what you choose to do. For the one who chooses to live, in verses 7 and 8, to sow to or live for his own flesh, that person will reap the reward of corruption. God assigns it in various ways. But for the ones who lives for the Spirit, he or she will reap eternal life. Choosing to live for the approval of Christ isn't easy. It is true that in salvation you are brought into spiritual life and the bondage to sin actually has been broken. Sin no longer controls you. You are a new creation in Christ. But there are these weird habits, right? Frustrating desires. Habits of our bodies that call us away from Christ. And so Paul, in the fifth chapter, describes it this way. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Yes, we can all identify with that struggle. But the verse we're looking at today primarily has a positive or encouraging goal here. You and I will reap a harvest at some point when we serve the Lord. How novel of me to just focus on the positive today. The illustration, the metaphor is from agriculture, right? Any farmers in the house? Context. Farming is hard work, right? Maybe you come from a family. I know Mrs. Bird grew up on a farm. All right. Farming is very difficult work. The ground has to be prepared. The seed has to be planted and nourished by sunlight and water. The crop has to be watched over to keep weeds and other creatures from ruining their progress. Tough physical work, and that's only one small sliver of what's involved in that, right? It can no doubt be exhausting. And Paul is using that agricultural metaphor. He uses it a lot, right? Because we can identify it even if we've only seen it from a distance. But the truth is, even beyond that, any job done well is a demanding, tiring job. Yeah? I mean, maybe there's one or two exceptions out there, but we won't go there right now, okay? It's no different really in the spiritual realm regarding working for the Lord. And so Paul urges his brothers and sisters in Christ this way, let us not grow weary. Sometimes we just need to hear that, don't we? Don't grow weary. He knows a little bit, Paul does, about the demands that the gospel actually puts in a life. Yes, great joy, great motivation, great happiness, but also, ooh, I have to make some choices, right? He knew, Paul knew what weariness looked like. And so when we look at this, let us not grow weary, we can describe those words like this, to lose heart, to be discouraged, to be just worn down, ground down. And life and ministry and living for the Lord has a measure of that weight attached to it. Time doesn't permit us this morning to examine Paul's life, but if you were just simply to read one of his letters, let me recommend 2 Corinthians to you. You would see all the evidences of a weary, even discouraged servant of Christ. Paul knows the potential of weariness. He knows what discouragement feels like. He knows about losing heart. He's familiar with thoughts like this. What's the point? He knows. It's not in the text, so I don't know, but I bet you when we get to heaven, I could ask him, and he said, yeah, I thought this one. Why am I doing this? Or will anything ever change? And we've already talked about the cause of weariness, but now Paul hones in on the source of the believer's weariness, and verse 9 says this, who I'm talking today to is people that are weary because they're doing the right thing. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Yeah, it's possible that sometimes our weariness, our discouragement, and despair is the result of actually having misplaced values or priorities. When you or I, when we insist that life satisfies us through perhaps relationships, through money, through power, through sexual fulfillment or achievement, we will at some point lose heart, be discouraged, worn down, or confused. Because it's the wrong goal. I recognize that I'm not necessarily the youngest person anymore. It's been my experience to see multitudes, or that's the wrong word, multiple is what my notes say, of people who know scriptural truth slowly fade out over time. It's like they're standing in life on a drawbridge, which is slowly lifting. They've positioned one foot in the gospel and the belief that Christ presents, and the other in their own plans. And so if they have a habit of listening to themselves and surrounding themselves with people who merely affirm them and agree with them, they inevitably try to live in two worlds, pleasing God and pleasing themselves, only to find at some point what they truly believe and desire eventually forces them to one side or the other. And there is a way that leads to life, it's the gospel way, and there's a way that leads to our destruction, it's called your own way. So the weariness in Galatians 6, though, comes from doing ministry work, doing what God tells you to do, and it can be tough. It comes from a person's desire to live out the gospel in their life. These efforts, doing spiritual work, living out your faith, can be physically, they can be affect you mentally, they affect your emotions, they affect you spiritually, and they can exhaust all those levels. So commentator Tim George noted the spiritual challenges that the Galatian Ephesians were facing. Here's where some of their weariness in doing good comes from. These believers, were struggling to maintain doctrinal clarity. And if you understand Galatians at all, you know one of the issues where there are people that said, we came to faith, but you know what? We just really love this tradition and Judaism of circumcision. Just let's add that back in a little bit. Like, you got to have that, and we believe everything else. And they had to, with fine-tooth comb, so that's adding to the gospel. No, can't do it. Folks, that's not, oh, I don't have anything to do today. Let's make a doctrinal issue clear, and everybody's got to figure it out. That is draining. They were called to, in other chapters, to express sacrificial love to other people regardless of their merit. So Paul tells them, by love, serve people. What? I want to serve who I want to. No, serve wide open people in need. They were to pursue the works of the Spirit. Oh, I'm supposed to be loving, joyful, filled with peace. I'm supposed to be long-suffering. I'm supposed to be gentle, good, filled with faith, meekness, and self-control. That's supposed to characterize my life. How many woke up today with those charted in front of you? I got those checked off. I can move on to the next thing. I know some of you do. You're wonderful. They are to be practicing and were practicing church discipline by restoring those who had already fallen. Chapter 6, you that are spiritual, restore such an one. Oh, it's one thing to make a decision about somebody's connection with your group. There's another thing to biblically restore them. Exhausting work. Yeah, they have to decide to do it or not, but to extend the effort and equity, yeah, tough. Paul tells them right early in a few verses, bear one another's burdens. I got enough of my own. No, bear one another's burdens. They were to examine their own life choices on the evaluation that they would receive at the judgment seat of Christ. So they were to be straining everything they did to say whether or not it's going to stand the trial at the judgment seat of Christ, that this was a good investment or a poor one. They were to provide material support to their leaders in the faith. Just read the earlier verses of chapter 6. And on top of all that, I'm supposed to pay for the pastor? Doesn't always work, right? That was what they were. That was some of the things they were dealing with. They could get tired. Beyond those specific things going on in Galatians, for those believers that can definitely cause weariness, anxiety, the idea of it's somebody else's turn to work in the nursery. Oh, that never happens here, right? There are the types of things that you and I can be dealing with by way of application today. So many situations apply to this issue of spiritual work. Spiritual work includes things like having patience with people. Yeah, that's the fruit of the Spirit. But people don't change just because you tell them to. patience with people. It's exhausting. Pursuing purity in your own mind. It's a war every day, men and women. Practicing purity in your life. It's a war every day, people who believe the Scripture. Showing sacrificial love and to provide for your children, not only physically, but also their spiritual development. Difficult. To be persistent in humbling, calling brothers and sisters in Christ to live in accordance with the gospel. Challenging. Willing to share the gospel, even though it's misunderstood, rejected, or questioned. Laboring in prayer to know God and see His will performed in other people's lives. Opening your life and your home to people to encourage and support them in their time of need. Those are just some things that those are exhausting. Yeah, we can identify with these kinds of challenges, but Paul tells us, don't give up in all this. Don't be weary in doing good, which helps us understand that when we're being told that by the Lord through Paul's pen, there actually is a spiritual solution, or there is a reason why we can continue on. God never gives you or me an instruction that we can't obey. So as we continue through the verse, I think you're going to see that there is a way to navigate this temptation to be weary or to give up. Paul says, don't quit. Stop being involved in ministry to other people. Continue to walk what is sometimes called a narrow path that leads to life. Yeah? And here's the encouragement. Now, mind you, fine-tooth comb theologians out there, this is inspired, right? Don't be weary in doing good, because in due season we will reap. Should have said feast, right? We will feast, right? We will reap. In other words, Paul's saying there's going to be a positive result. A harvest will come. What can be really hard is waiting. So some of us are thinking, how long is it going to take for somebody to come to Christ as a result of you sowing the seeds of the gospel, demonstrating sacrificial love to get involved in their lives, praying for God to work? Remember, my brother or sister, we will reap a harvest. Think with me about a brother or sister in Christ who just seems to exhaust you, or maybe just a brother or sister in the flesh. They're struggling spiritually, and their struggles are exhausting to you. You continue to serve them in word and in deed, and nothing seems to change. Please remember, you will reap. Perhaps you have served quietly, sacrificially for years. No one really knows what would crumble if you were to quit. You're maybe getting a little older. Your energy and passion seems to be dying out. My friend, don't quit. You may need to delegate some things or restructure some things, but don't quit. Don't be discouraged. You're going to reap a harvest. What do we reap? Well, the previous verse tells us that those who sow to the Spirit are involved in sowing to, will reap eternal life. So the temptation to give up or quit suggests that we actually don't understand the value of the harvest we're given spiritually. So, do you spend much time thinking about how wonderful your spiritual harvest called heaven will be? John writes in Revelation 21, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth had passed away. The sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them.'" What a harvest. God will dwell with us. Yes, He's in our heart, but this is another dimension. "And they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither shall there be any mourning or crying or pain evermore, for the former things have passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be to me a son. Whoa. So practically, if that passage doesn't provide comfort, encouragement, and even energy to you, I put this in bold, read it and think about it until it does mean something to you. I said that in bold. You see what I mean? If you just read that and you went, oh, go home and read again in chapter 21 of Revelation and realize what your spiritual harvest is going to look like for sure. Nobody's going to take that away from you. Think about it, meditate on it, praise God for it, talk to him about it until you actually find my spirit and my heart is encouraged. So keep going until it does, because God's word's going to do that to us. There's another beautiful passage in Hebrews that encourages us with the understanding of God's heart to bless and encourage us during our time on the earth. Chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 10, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints, as you still do." He's aware. In fact, you know, you see throughout Scripture God giving assurance of ultimate relief in the future and the likelihood of temporal relief at some point during your life. So we see even in the Psalms 27, 13, and 14, "I believe," the psalmist says, "that I shall look upon" what? "The goodness of the Lord in the land of the living while I'm alive." Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Yes, I understand that some followers of Christ went into eternity, will go into eternity with never experiencing physical relief in their struggles. But David's testimony in the 27th Psalm is that we can believe that God will demonstrate his goodness to us in this life. It's not wrong to believe that. God decides. This is not a softened form of the health and wealth gospel. It's an appropriate response of a believing, enduring heart to his or her Father in heaven, whose goodness never fails. And his goodness is not going to fail in this life or the next. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. Last phrase. If we do not give up. Here's the catch. There's the condition. Paul does put the condition right at the end of the verse here. He says, "Seeing this harvest is the result of your perseverance." Did you know that one of the key characteristics of Christians is that they remain steadfast in their commitment to Christ? No, we're not talking about sinless perfection, but rather the pattern of their life is to follow Jesus. If we do not give up. Giving up could be translated fainted. Here's my non-medical take on fainting. For medical perspectives, see Chase Camille, Malou, and all the other medical professionals in the building. Granted, there are multiple reasons somebody can faint, but often it's the result of something like pain, exhaustion, or maybe even a virus that overwhelms our system. So we collapse and usually return with a degree of strength at a later time, or somebody's put us in a bed someplace. So focusing just on something that kind of overwhelms our system for a little bit, think about that word overwhelm, right? What overwhelming things can come our way? Here's somebody that could be thinking, I'm close to giving up on God because I'm struggling with a physical issue that just defies a medical diagnosis. It runs in between everything, and I'm just weary. I'm ready to give up. Perhaps your repeated attempts to find relief then led to mental and emotional pressure and strain because nothing seems to change. You're even trying to read the Word of God, but often distracted. And God's Word just seemed to be a blur on the page. Your communion with God is deteriorating because you're asking over and over again for Him to deal with this issue and crying out for relief from the suffering, but it seems as if He's not doing anything about it. At the same time, your life maybe brings relational challenges as members of your family also have their own struggles and weaknesses which add another layer of pressure to your life. Add in the lack of work, a work promotion, the rising cost of living, and nobody who really seems to understand or identify with your struggle, and you're severely tempted to say, it's no use. What's the point? I'm done. You'll reap if you don't give up. Here's where it's critical for us to carefully analyze where our focus has been, perhaps in the scenario I just shared with you. Think with us, what am I thinking about? It may be that we will need the help of even a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside us. Almost all of these circumstances are something in themselves that are quite difficult, but you, maybe, in poor health, with little support and nobody who understands, you then are tempted to believe something other than this: I will reap a spiritual harvest if I don't give up. Believers, whether your situation identifies with anything like what was just described or is totally different, believers, you and I, we have to anchor our thoughts and hopes in what is certain and no doubt in many cases future. You have experienced the goodness of God in leading you to repent and believe the good news. He has told you through Paul's pen in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you to be tempted above your ability. But with the temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And now you have a choice to make. Will I operate on the basis of my feelings? Will I operate on the basis of what my circumstances are telling me to do? Will I ignore God's call on my life to make wise choices that demonstrate my preeminent loyalty to Christ? Or will I give up and live by what I can merely see? Brothers and sisters, this is a short challenge to us today, but I think it's timely, at least for me. Can you not think of somebody who used to sit near you, who no longer sets aside time to worship the Lord on Sunday? Take that metaphorically. I'm not trying to actually make you think about somebody who's to come to church here, right? When somebody refuses to honor the Lord and His day by worshiping in a gospel-preaching assembly, what does that tell you about their priorities and their loyalties? I'm not talking about people that have to work. And again, I say this from time to time. Thank God people work on Sundays. Thank God the police are out there, the doctors answer phones, right? There are certain people who are glad they're working Sundays. But what about the person that just is fading out? What does it say about our priorities and loyalties when we no longer regularly meet and worship the Lord? How about this? Can you think of a time when you were struggling and you were graciously restored through the efforts of God's people to see you in your difficult decision and ministers God, not only God's truth, but God's love to you? Today, God is calling us to renew our strength by Jesus Christ. So we need to look again at Him. Do you think Jesus Christ was ever weary of the crowds pressing around Him? Do you think Jesus understood the heartache of being rejected by members of His own family? Prophets without honor in His own country. He came to His own and His own didn't receive Him. Do you think Jesus triumphantly walked through His betrayal at the hands of Judas? He knows betrayal. Did Jesus know what it was like to not have very much? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have a nest. The Son of Man has not where to lay His head. Did Jesus experience emotional terror as the time steadily approached when He would die? The answer is yes. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Did Jesus experience hatred, sarcastic taunts, angry fists, outbursts of rage, unlawful scourgings and beatings? Yes. So, Hebrew tells us, consider Jesus. Consider how he could have been weary. Consider him. Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus Christ. Ponder what he went through. What we like to do is to tell Jesus how hard it is for us. And perhaps that's even okay. As long as we take more time to consider what he went through on our behalf, as we do telling him how hard we have it. In fact, in spite of the brutal experiences set before Christ, he was so fixed on bringing glory to God. He looked at his earthly hardships as joy set before him. That's Hebrews 12, in case you think I'm lying. You don't get to that point without spending deliberate, focused time with God in the Word and in prayer. Now, I don't ever want to minimize the absolute difficulty, agony, pain and suffering, relational, physical, all forms of that with people. And I don't want anybody walking out of here today saying, talk to Jesus and you'll be fine. That's all. It may need that we can sit down and talk. It may take a long time of listening and understanding and getting people around you to encourage and help you and think through things. But at the end of the day, consider him is still there. Think about Jesus. We like to tell Jesus how rough our life is. And it may be the most horrible story known to man. I would never minimize that. Still, for that person, consider him. And while no person maybe can fix your pain, no person can actually absolve you of your weariness, Jesus Christ is aware of it and is able to help you where you are at. And not only in the life to come, for those that are in Christ, will you reap a harvest. He delights bringing a harvest of goodness into your life even now. So where are you today? Perhaps you're not weary. Tell somebody else about this message. Encourage them, right? Maybe you're ready to faint. You're close to being overwhelmed. Remember, your perseverance will pay off in eternity for sure. And in this life, you will experience the gift of God sustaining you as you choose to not be weary in doing good. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your time in the Word today, a little different from our normal pattern. Lord, it's been a grind, no doubt, for those who minister in the church. The winter months, the busy calendar, the never-ending practices and cleanup and demands of loving and serving people, old and young. I know, Lord, this word is a good word for me today. And I pray that God's people would only catch what God said in this verse. May the words that were shared that would confuse the truth be forgotten. And may the hope that the gospel brings bring true healing and strength today. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.